This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Greensboro Police Department is ending traffic stops based on minor equipment violations. Police Chief Wayne Scott issued the temporary order to assess concerns over racial disparities in policing. A recent New York Times article showed African Americans are disproportionately affected in traffic stops, car searches, and use of force by police. Joining me now is Greensboro Police Chief Wayne Scott. Chief Scott, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Give us the specifics, if you would, please. What exactly does your order cover? What did you tell your force?
Well, I did a special order, which is within the authority of a chief of police, that basically said that I wanted my patrol folks for the time being, no longer initiate vehicle stops solely based on equipment infractions on the vehicles. I want to stress this is a temporary move until we get our hands around the data, more or less. We've been researching it for some time, but I think it's the appropriate move, and it's a good opportunity for us to redeploy our resources to some other programs that we have here in Greensboro, namely being neighborhood-oriented policing. So we're looking forward to the results of that.
And how temporary? Had you put a deadline on it?
Well, I did not put a deadline. I will tell you that the information you mentioned just a moment ago, the data that has shown us the disparities in traffic stops is nothing new. It didn't just come to light when the national publication decided to run a story. I had actually been made aware of it several months beforehand and had contracted with some local academics here in Greensboro, both North Carolina State University and with UNC Greensboro to help us understand what those numbers meant specifically for Greensboro. So we've had that research underway, and they are supposed to be completed and have a report to me no later than the end of January. So I feel like by the end of January, I should be in a position to initiate permit policy changes as needed, but I felt it was important that we go ahead and make some steps forward to affect some change that I believe will be a positive one for the city.
Now, what about the critique that, look, these are infractions, you are the police, and police are, assigned to stop people from breaking the law. You say this is within your authority. Talk more about that and why, where that authority comes from and why you exercised it and how you would address those critics who say, hey, man, you got to enforce the law.
Well, and I will say that we are enforcing the law. We, as police chiefs, I make decisions daily. I have over 800 employees for the Greensboro Police Department, and I regularly make decisions about how and where we end up deploying our resources. Quite frankly, I think some of the disparities are as a result of how we deploy our resources. We, as a whole, I think policing, we put our resources where people request them. That's the first thing. Secondly, where our call load takes us, and lastly, where we think we can do the most effectiveness. Well, I think as a result of that, we have deployed in certain areas within our community, and we've had an increased contact, which has put members of that community where they're seeing officers more often, which is a good thing, but it gives those officers the opportunity, the regularity to see minor traffic offenses at a higher rate than we do in other parts of the city.
Chief, as you said, this you've been taking this seriously long before the New York Times piece came out and been looking into this as a very serious question. Do you have any preliminary ideas about, sort of, first of all, the validity of the claim that there might be something, not about who you are, but about the way you all do business, that is resulting in racial disparities?
Well, and Frank, I will tell you, people, and I want to make sure your viewers understand this, I don't dispute the numbers. The numbers are accurate. We've already looked back over them. We've had our folks look at them. There is a disparity. So I don't dispute that. What I don't have a full understanding, and I don't think anyone does at this point, is what drove the numbers. I believe that we can say that deployment is a big piece of it, but I am determined that we're going to do a better job here in Greensboro, and we're going to peel back the layers of that onion to determine what drove each and every one of those irregularities or disparities that they've been. I can't say at this point that I have all the answers, but I think this is a first positive step toward us coming up with some good solutions.
One of the big parts of the story is that policemen were using consent searches to look, in the data, that they were looking through cars using consent searches, and they found that on those consent searches, that, you know, they weren't finding much. And I'm just wondering if you're going to change any of the policy about the way you conduct searches.
Well, we are evaluating that. Part of our policy, we're evaluating our overall bias-based policing policy, which relates to racial profiling in general. We're even looking at the numbers related around certain charges like resist, delay, and obstruct. It's important that we look at it holistically, in my opinion. But I will tell you, you know, North Carolina is fortunate in one regard. We're one of the six states in the country that collect any data related to traffic stops, but we don't collect enough. And that's what my researchers are telling me early on. So I will tell you, part of my plan will be to get more detail around those things like consent searches, what actually drove that decision, what was the officer thinking, so that we can better evaluate how do we move forward.
It's interesting to hear you say that. I mean, you're saying that you like the fact that we're collecting this much data, and you'd actually like, as a police chief, you would like to see more data collection.
Absolutely. I think it's imperative that we make informed decisions. And in those cases, I've got to know as much as I possibly can about what drove an officer's decision.
So you're also, I'm wondering what kind of feedback you're getting now from the public, but also within your own department.
Well, and truly within the department, before I made this decision, once I had made this decision, the first people I informed were my senior command staff, my group of captains and above, and that's about 20 people altogether. And we sit and we had about a three-hour meeting to discuss exactly why I had arrived at this. And we had a good conversation, and I was very pleased to say that many of the folks in that room could totally understand my reasoning behind it. And before we left that room, we were in one voice. And so I tasked them to go and speak to all of our employees. I won't tell you that it's a 100% popular decision, but I don't think you go anywhere where you have over 800 employees and you look at making a change that you get that feedback. So it's been a mixed bag. We're taking the time to explain to our employees what are the ramifications of small decisions they make. So far as the community, it's also been a mixed bag. I've received a number of phone calls, emails, you name it, that have praised me for the decision, and I've received an equal number that have questioned why it's going on. So I think it's a matter of folks are wanting to see what the outcome will be, same as I am. I've made the open statement that I'm going to evaluate this on a 30-day basis until we make permanent policy changes. And if it is causing issues or we're not getting what we need to get out of any decision, we're going to reevaluate it and move from there.
And just to be clear, the 30-day, you mean every 30 days you're going to take a look now that you've put a deadline on it?
It is. Every 30 days since I've made this decision, I'm looking at things that are not just traffic stop related. I'm looking at our response time to calls. I'm looking at do we see trends in crime that are non-traffic related. And then, of course, the factors around traffic stops. I want to make sure that we don't inadvertently change part of that formula of policing and not realize what we're doing.
And as you said earlier, this is part of a holistic approach and assessment for your department. And I know that you're taking a different tack on neighborhood policing. Tell us more about that.
Well, GPD has been involved in undertaking what we call neighborhood-oriented policing for about 24 months. We began to look strategically almost 2 years ago as to how can we do our job better with our resources. And what we've achieved to this point is earlier in this year, I was able to readjust our district lines, basically to make our districts a bit more equalized in call load. And what we achieved with that was we were able to lower our response time slightly, and we were able to reduce the time that we didn't have a car to go to a call. That's a very important thing for us, that we always have a resource available. As of this week, I was able to actually move and create some new units. We're creating what we call a street crime unit to address specific street-level issues that we think have begun to pop up across the country, and we're starting to see them here. And so we're very excited by that. And lastly, I was able to move a total of 24 positions back into patrol so that we can connect better with our community. Neighborhood-oriented policing for us is about making that connection with those officers that work your area. And so I've told my community we hope to see in the coming months that our officers will be out on foot more. They will be connecting, knocking on doors, introducing themselves. That's our ultimate goal.
And finally, how do you plan to make an assessment of all this data now that you're working so hard to collect?
Well, you know, and number one, it can't be made in a vacuum. I've made this obligation to our city council and to our community. We're going to share the data with those around us, other police chiefs, other parts of our community, and the community as a whole. And I think, you know, we work together to see what it means for us. I'm pulling together pretty quickly of the top five or six chiefs by city size in North Carolina, along with a invitation to the Director of Training and Standards to come to Greensboro for a one-day summit to discuss exactly those questions. Hopefully going to do that by the end of the year. You know, one of the mottos here at Greensboro is we want to be a model agency, and we want to model these changes just like we model everything else. So I'm excited by it.
All right, Chief. Well, I thank you deeply for taking the time to talk with us about this issue.
Not a problem. Thank you for inviting me.
Wayne Scott is the chief of the Greensboro Police Department. Just ahead, we will hear stories of Air Force One from a former flight attendant, Howie Franklin. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.